Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
So John chapter 15 and then verse 1 following, and our subject is going to be fruitfulness. How we can be fruitful in Jesus. How we can be fruitful in Jesus. John chapter 15 verse 1 says, I am the true vine. Please underline the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. Underline vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, underline takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, underline prunes, that he may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Please note that. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Hallelujah. I want you to note verse 2 that every branch in Jesus that does not bear fruit, underline fruit, and then I want you to note more fruit also in the same verse, and then you come to verse number 5, and it talks about bearing much fruit. So you have fruit, more fruit, and then much fruit. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus Christ begins this teaching by saying that I am the true vine. By the way, this teaching took place in the upper room. The upper room truths are very deep truths that Jesus Christ taught to his people. Actually, they are what I refer to as kingdom words. They are words that were spoken in the upper room. He elevated them. He took them to a very high place above the normal place that human beings are walking. And he's teaching them heavenly truths. He's teaching them higher truths, things that transcends the normal human life. So they are not on the ground like ordinary people walking. He takes them to the upper room. Actually, from John chapter 13, he begins the upper room stuff, and then he goes on and on and on all the way to John chapter 17. Okay, so in John chapter 15, we have Jesus Christ, who is like, as it were, climaxing. He is in the middle, if you like. He is in the middle of his teaching, his kingdom words that he was giving to his apostles. Now, he says that, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. So Jesus likens himself to a vine plant. All right. That is why in talking about doing well, being fruitful, blossoming, and all that, it is important for us to remember what Jesus taught about these things. That is why he mentions fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. Hallelujah. So I am the true vine. Why does he say I am the true vine? It makes us to know that there are other vines, but he is a true one. Hallelujah. And he is the only true vine. He didn't say, I am a true vine. That will imply that there are other true vines elsewhere. But he uses a definite article there. It means that he is the one and only true vine. And he says that he is a true vine because there are false vines. Now, basically, the vine tree gives us what we call grapes. And basically, the main thing that grapes are used for is wine. All right? So, Jesus says that I am the true vine. Our mind must quickly go to the vine plant, the fruit of the vine, which is the grapes, and what we use the fruit for, which is wine. So I am the true vine. Jesus is implying, among other things, that he is the true source of wine. He is the true source of wine. Hallelujah. Wow. It tells us that there are other sources of wine. But Jesus says that I am the true vine. The wine in the Bible, among other things, speaks about the anointing. Can we all say the anointing? Yeah, it speaks about influence. Wine is influence. Because when you drink wine, you get intoxicated with time, you know, and then you come under the influence of the wine. So when we talk about the wine in the Bible, we are talking about influence, or if you like, the anointing. The anointing influences us to be able to do things above our normal human strength. So Jesus says that I am the true source of the anointing. It means that there are other sources of anointing. There are other sources of anointing. Anointing is just talking about enablement. I am the true influencer who is able to influence and enable you to perform above the normal human strength or ability to do that which God wants you to do in an acceptable way. So there are other sources of anointing apart from Jesus Christ. So I want you to think about yourself. You know, when you think about the anointing, and it's a very common parlance among Christians now, even non-believers uses the word anointing. Is it a thing? If you think about anointing, I want you to immediately think about where the source of the anointing is from. Because if it is from the true vine, that is Jesus, then you have the correct one, the true one, that pleases God. But if your abilities, if your influences, if your inspiration is from other places apart from Jesus, is from other personalities apart from Jesus, then you have to redirect yourself so that you get joined to the true vine in your mind. Hallelujah. And in your heart, you get joined to the true vine so that the true anointing is going to flow to your life. Most especially in this time, we are living in times that many people are getting things done, getting inspired to do things, to write things, to preach things, but it is not really from the true vine or Jesus. And you can see it easily. In fact, the way to see whether somebody's ability or grace is coming from Jesus is just to look at the person. You know, when I say look at the person, I mean that check out where the person's emphasis is. Check out where the person is glorifying. Check out whether the person's words are the words of the true anointing or the true Christ. The words of Jesus. You need to check these things out carefully, because there is no anointing that can come upon people, listen carefully, which would defy the words of Jesus. There is no true anointing which will counter the performance of Jesus. If somebody sets aside Jesus' performance, does not promote it, does not glorify it, and then he is exhibiting some anointing, you must begin to question it. You must begin to check whether, oh, maybe he is one of those people who are being inspired, influenced by other vines, not the true vine. Hallelujah. Because there are religious people, you know, who are inspired by religion, but not by Jesus, the kingdom bringer. Hallelujah. We need to now focus everything on what Jesus Christ came to do for us. And out of it, we get what is called the true anointing. Hallelujah. So Jesus says that I am the true anointing, if you like. I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. The vine dresser is somebody who dresses the vine. Now, there is a vine dresser, and then there is a vine destroyer. If you like, a vine defiler, who is the devil. God is the vine dresser. He says that my Father is the vine dresser. He is the one who dresses me. He is the one who promotes me. He is the one who glorifies me. Hallelujah. But there is another vine person who destroys the vine. He tries to defile the vine. When we talk about destroying the vine, it doesn't mean that Jesus can be destroyed. The person of Jesus can be destroyed, but his principles can be destroyed, if you like. His performance can be destroyed. By destroying, I mean that it can be set aside. It can be clouded. It can be put down. Hallelujah. When you think about a vine dresser, think about the opposite one. The opposite one is a vine defiler. Not as if he can defile, not as if the devil can defile Jesus, but you see, he can smear something in your mind about Jesus, which is not true. It's not a true defiling of Jesus, but in your mind, Jesus has been defiled. In your mind, the things that Jesus spoke, the things that Jesus stood for, has been diluted. That is what I mean by destroying or defiling. Not as if the substance can be defiled. It is there, but to you, the vine destroyer can paint a certain picture about the performance of Jesus to you. That is not dressing up Jesus and his performance, but that is rather minimizing, clouding, casting some questions in what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us and in his life for us. Hallelujah. There is a vine hater, and he says that the person who hates the vine is not my Father. It is somebody else. He makes it very clear that my Father dresses the vine. He didn't say my Father hates the vine. My Father destroys the vine. Hallelujah. We need to get this very clear, ladies and gentlemen, because there is an antichrist spirit who is not happy for Jesus to be promoted. There is an antichrist spirit who is not happy for Jesus to be recognized. He is not happy for his principles or what he taught, what he stood for, his performance to be given center stage. He is called the antichrist. His Father is for the true vine. He is for Christ, to dress the Christ, but there is an antichrist who is against the Christ, who is against the true vine, who brings false sources of anointing, you know, who tries to smear the image of Christ, who tries to downplay on the performance of Christ. He tries to take our minds from it. He tries to make us to know that, oh, we can achieve this thing without the kingdom words of Jesus, without our focusing on Jesus. Our lives can be okay. Our jobs can be okay. Things about us, our families can be okay without recourse to the vine. He is called the Antichrist. Let's read about the Antichrist spirit in another book that the same author called John, in the book of 1 John chapter 4, he wrote. 1 John chapter 4 and then verse number 3. Alright, look at verse 2. He says, by this you know the spirit of God. Can we all say by this? He didn't say by these. This is a plural of this. When he says by this, he's speaking to you about only one thing. Only one thing. By this one thing, you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit. This is what he is giving you as an indicator that the spirit of God or the true anointing is working, that you have the true vine. So he says that by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he that is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Hallelujah. Jesus is saying that even the little children in me have overcome the Antichrist spirit. The Bible says that this Antichrist spirit is already in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. They don't speak kingdom words. They don't speak upper room truths. They speak like the world. They speak like the fallen religious world, and the world hears them. Hallelujah. But he says that the proof that you have the true anointing, you have the true wine or Jesus, is that you confess that Jesus came in the flesh. In the flesh means he came physically.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Hallelujah. Jesus came physically. But I want you to ask yourself, why is it that the devil tries to give the picture that Jesus Christ didn't come in the flesh? These were the teachings of the Gnostics, but they are still the same spirit of the Antichrist that denies the physicalness of Jesus is in the world right now. Hallelujah. It's in the church right now. Wow. So we have to find out why. Is it that the devil tries to hide the fact that Jesus came in the flesh? It is because if he gets you the revelation that Jesus came as a human being in the flesh physically, and he led a conquering life on this physical earth, then you will have an edge over him, because you just have to mimic the kind of ways of Jesus, and then your physical life becomes fruitful, it becomes blossoming, it becomes just like Jesus. So you will hide the fact that Jesus came as a physical person and led a physical life. He wants to give you the picture that Jesus is all spiritual. You just get born again, and the born again experience is in your spirit. You are ready for heaven. What about your physical life? What about your social life? What about your relational life? What about your marriages? What about your finances? What about your career? What about other physical aspects of your life? He tries to hide the fact that Jesus led a physical life, that he had a career, that he was a carpenter. He tries to hide all those things so that your life become all spiritual, tilted to a corner. And do you know the reason? It is because he wants you to take the spiritual whilst he takes the physical. Because as long as he can control the physical, then your spiritual becomes like something which is of no value on this physical earth. You are of only value for heaven, ready for heaven. But when it comes to handling things in this world, handling your business, handling your marriage, handling your church, handling things that are practical, then you are found wanting. He wants to capture that. He wants to take the physical, and then because Jesus has come already, he knows that, well, things have been accomplished in the spiritual realms already. We are already clean and all that. But he wants to take the physical. That is why he will always resist anybody who tries to give you a picture that Jesus was a physical person. He looked perfectly, 100% man. and he led a 100% sin-free life, 100% sickness-free life, 100% curse-free life, 100% shame-free life. He led a life of glory to God. Hallelujah. He wants to hide that one and up something else so that you become all spiritual and you have no physical value or consequence. That spirit is in the world. That spirit is in the world. It is called the Antichrist spirit. But the Bible says that if you are in Jesus, if you are abiding in Jesus, you have overcome them. Hallelujah. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. The one who is abiding in you and you in him is greater than the devil who is out there in the religious world. Hallelujah. Let's go back to John 15. So I've spoken to you about the true anointing, how you can see the true anointing, how that the true anointing will always exalt the true vine. And Jesus is the word of God. There is no way you can exalt Jesus and say that I cast out devils in the name of Jesus and not speak the kingdom words of Jesus. Then you did that, all the miracles and everything, in the name of Jesus, but not with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And we know how to know people who have the Spirit of God. They are people who make you know that Jesus was a practical person and relate Jesus to your practical life. He will not be a spirit, a savior who died somewhere and who cleansed us and that is all. No, they relate Jesus and make him practical in the life of the branch. Hallelujah. So he said, I'm the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser, not the vine hater. It's important for you to know this because Jesus defines these things and then he goes on to speak about some things. You need to know that God doesn't hate the vine. God doesn't hate the vine. And this vine is not just talking about Jesus, but he's talking about you and Jesus. Because he says that, I am the vine, you are the branches. He didn't say, I'm the vine stem and you are the vine branches. He says, I am the vine that includes the branch, but you are the branches. It means that we have a dual kind of thing. You understand that? We are part of the vine. We are the branches. You get a picture? That should make us to know that we have a certain life that the spiritual Jesus does not have now. Because Jesus Christ is what? In heaven, as we are talking right now. When he was giving this truth in the upper room, he was just about to go to die. In John chapter 18, after John chapter 17, after the upper room, he was arrested and he went to Calvary and then he died. So Jesus is teaching us that we are an inseparable part of him. Inseparable part of him. Hallelujah. Says that every branch in me, verse 2, that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Please underline, take away. But let's talk about fruit first. Do you know the first time that the word fruit was used in the New Testament was in Matthew chapter 3 verse 8 or so, and John the Baptist used it. He said to the people who had come to him for baptism, bring forth therefore fruit worthy of repentance. Bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. That fruit over there is talking about a character. Bring forth a character that agrees with your repentance. In other words, if you have come to me for baptism, you say you have repented, let it show in your character. So watch. The first time the word fruit is used in the New Testament is in Matthew chapter 3 verse 8. And it was used about people's character, not about people's works, not about people's results that they generate, but about their character. You need to understand this because one of the wonderful laws of interpreting the Bible is to let the Bible interpret itself. So you must always go back to the first time a word is used and have that understanding even as you read throughout the Bible about that thing. And if you get any other understanding, fine, but it must not cut down the first understanding that you got when it was used the very first time. The very first time the word fruit is used in the New Testament is about what? Character. So Jesus Christ is speaking basically about character here when he says that every branch in me that does not bear fruit, that does not show my character, my essence, he takes away. I told you to underline the word take away, because that word is the Greek word aero. A-I-R-O. Aero. Aero means to lift up. Aero means to lift up. Hallelujah. You are the branch in Jesus. And he says that when you are not showing his character, do you know what he does to you? He lifts you up. He lifts you up. I know that traditionally we have understood this one as he cuts you away. He is not a vine hater. He is a vine dresser. Hallelujah. So he does what? He lifts you up. And if you know how the vine, there is a vine, not the European one, but there is a vine in Israel, the Middle East. These are plants that you have to lift up, and they prop them with sticks so that they receive support. Otherwise, they will be on the floor, on the ground. As long as they are on the ground, they cannot lead Jesus' life. Jesus' life can be led when you rise up mentally. When you understand, you have a mindset that you are lifted up with Jesus. That you are not down like ordinary human beings, but you have an elevated life. You have a kingdom life. You have a life that is lifted above the ground. So he takes them to the upper room. I told you about it. He takes them above the ground, and they are being taught about this. Hallelujah. So he says that every branch in me that does not bear fruit, that doesn't show my character, Jesus Christ doesn't cut you away just there. He doesn't do that. Or I should say, God doesn't do that. God will always give you all the chance as long as there is this life. As long as this life is not over. As long as your human life is not over. God doesn't cut you off. There is always the chance for you to be fruitful. Have Jesus' character and blossom as a believer. Hallelujah. How does he make you blossom? First of all, he lifts you up. That is what we have to do to God's children. It is not all right to speak down at God's children. God's children must always be lifted up. God's children must always be given kingdom words, high words that lift you up. They are not words that condemn you. They are words that lift you up and make you to know that as Jesus is the vine, so are you the branch. They are words that make you to see that you are already perfect in Jesus. You are already righteous in Jesus. You are already favored in Jesus. You are already blessed in Jesus. Those are kingdom words. They are words that elevate you to the place where you actually are, which is the kingdom of God. He has moved you from the kingdom of darkness and translated you into the kingdom of his dear son. This is a high kingdom. This is a life that is higher than the normal life. And God wants all his children to be kingdom minded, to be arrow, to be lifted up. It is when they are lifted up, just as Jesus Christ is, that they can be fruitful. Hallelujah. That is why I don't understand. You see, the fruit of the human spirit is in Galatians 5, 22 to 23. We can mention that, them, nine of them. Hallelujah. Love is number one. Peace is number two. Joy is number three. Patience. That's patience. Long suffering. Self-control is there. Goodness is there. Faithfulness is there. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that against such there is no law. Now these are the fruit that we must bear. These are the fruit that we must bear as believers who are in Jesus. says that if you are not bearing it, in other words, if there isn't Jesus' type of love in your life, practically, if you do not have peace, you have confusion, you do not know what to do, even tomorrow, you do not know what job to do, whatever thing to do, and all that. You know, you don't have peace in your life. You don't have joy in your life. You don't have self-control in your life. You are not to pray for these things. The believer doesn't pray for love because you already have it. The believer is encouraged, lifted up, that you have it, walk in it. The believer doesn't have to pray for peace. He already has it. Listen, he is our peace. He is our peace. If you have him, you have peace. So you don't have to pray for peace. All that you have to do is to be arrowed, to be lifted up to that kind of mindset that you have peace because Jesus is your peace. And then when you have that mindset, you walk in it. You become fruitful. You exhibit that fruit of peace. Believer doesn't have to pray that God take not your joy away from me. Like maybe some people prayed in the Old Testament. You don't have to because Jesus is your joy. Hallelujah. He has become our joy. God anointed him with the oil of gladness above his fellows. And we have this person who has more joy than any other person in the world. How come you think that you are deficient of joy? He is your joy. You just have to, in your understanding, elevate from a religious mindset to a mind that he is my joy. And then you will see that once you know he is my joy, effortlessly joy will begin to flow. I tell you, joy will begin to flow. Self-control will begin to flow. Hallelujah. You came from
heaven. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.